Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Star Wars The Last Jedi was the highest grossing film of 2017.
When I found you, I saw raw, untamed power.
It made $1.3 billion worldwide. That's great. And since then, the franchise has been under siege.
Something truly special.
From its own fans. Or at least a really nasty segment of them. This isn't the first time that angry fans have banded together to bully and harass the creators of their supposed favorite thing into doing it their way. But this is Star Wars. When it happens to Star Wars, you know that the game has changed. Not only have these fans bullied some of the Last Jedi cast off of social media completely, they are now, and I know this is ridiculous, but it's happening, taking pledges to remake the film themselves. How did fandom get this toxic? It's July 16th. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story.
This is one of these things. Like, there's a reason that art is usually made by a singular artist. You require a vision to create something. And these guys right now, they don't have a vision. They just have an ante.
Raju Mudar is a pop culture, gaming, and entertainment reporter for the Toronto Star. He's also the geekiest person I know, and he can take us back to when this whole world began to change. You've been at this a long time. I've also been a geek for a while, but have lapsed. So what's different in fandom today than when I was posting on Harry Potter fan groups in the early 2000s?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things. I think that we've hit a point where, you know, fandom has become its own sort of industrial complex. You know, it is a business. It's a huge part of the business. It's not just the movies. It's not just the toys. It's also how we react to these things. It's how we immediately respond to them. It's how we, you know, meme them afterward. And so being an active fan now is such a different thing. It's also easier than it's ever been because you can find your communities. Now, the biggest thing that's changed, however, is because these communities can find each other, they've also grown really, really toxic. And I think that's what we kind of want to talk about with a lot of the stuff that's happening with Star Wars and about fans that want to remake it.
So now, what do you mean when you say they've become toxic?
It's all these people who think that they own the franchise as much as the people who create it. They think that because they've been watching it their entire lives, it's a part of their lives and they have some sense of ownership over it. Now, absolutely, they have a sense of ownership over what it means to them. That's exactly what sort of the personal aspect of pop culture is. And that's the thing that I think people tend to forget. We look at these things as giant pieces of mass culture, but the things we take of them are intensely personal. Now, the thing is that we've gotten to this point where nothing is personal anymore. Everything has to be broadcast. So if you have a problem with something, you put it on social media, you complain about it, you get people on your side. And that's the thing that we find with social media. You can always find people on your side. So, unfortunately, this has given a lot of strength to people who are very, very negative about things and feel if they don't like something, well, maybe we can go around something and change it because we have enough people like-minded. However, you know, they forget how hard it is to actually make these things, that these people spend their entire lives. You know, Rian Johnson, this isn't his first movie. He's been making movies his entire life. He's been working up to this point. There's a reason that he got trusted with Episode 8 and now another trilogy that is coming somewhere down the line. So I do think this stuff is ludicrous, but the thing is that Star Wars is a bit malleable, a bit more than some of the other franchises, just because of the way that it has been changed over time.
So, but what I want to talk about is it's one thing to complain about a piece of pop culture you don't like on the internet. You know, I thought Hansen sucked, or I don't know why I keep going back to Hansen as the analogy for this, but, you know, I thought the new Drake album sucked maybe, and I say that on the internet. It's one thing to have my own opinion and broadcast it, and maybe some other people say, yeah, I also thought it sucked. It's another thing to demand action. When did that start?
You know, I think we have to switch mediums here, and I think we have to look at gaming, and I think gaming in probably the last 5 years is a lot to blame with where a lot of this toxic fandom comes from. I think the two things that we can really point to are Gamergate and what happened with a Canadian-made video game, Mass Effect.
So tell me about Gamergate first, then Mass Effect.
Okay. I kind of hate it because Gamergate is probably the worst thing that has happened in pop culture, in, at least in my memory, the last decade.
I know, but that's why we have to talk about it, because it does really seem like that's when everything sort of got poisoned.
Yes. So,
what was it?
Gamergate was a movement, and I use air quotes that you can't see.
Yep.
It was a movement that started because a bunch of people thought that gaming journalism had issues. And that, you know, the line that they always said was, it's about ethics in gaming journalism. And that was their line to defend things, saying that, oh, their games were not being covered properly. But also, it was a whole revolt against the idea that there was perhaps, you know, some social justice happening in games, you know, more women playing games. Really, it was a front to harass women. And there were a number of high-profile women online, some game creators, some just gaming personalities and journalists. And this was just an excuse for these fans to take a shot at women that they thought were wrecking their games. And it's about that simple. It's the most – it doesn't make sense. If you, the further you look into it, it's just – there is no there.
Right.
It is one of these things that people are just mad that they felt that the games were becoming, I don't know, a little bit too open-minded, a little bit too egalitarian maybe. I'm not really sure.
Well, gaming was maybe the last of the pop culture mediums to enter the mainstream in the point where, you know, everybody talks about them, everybody engages with them.
And it's an audience that is completely online. It's an audience that lives online. This is a place where all these guys were. This is a place where they found their toxic brothers on, you know, sites like 4chan, which really were the place where Gamergate really got started. And you know what? This is where they learned that to get organized. This is how they said, okay, let's all harass this one person off online. Oh, we don't like this person. Let's bombard. Let's dox them. Let's find out who they are. Let's follow them home. And this is carried on and still carry on. There are developers. There are female developers who are attacked for their contributions to games. And it is utterly ridiculous. Listen, I just recently at E3, I mean, you know, gaming is pretty much a 50-50 in terms of the people that work for it. You know, maybe the devs are mostly guys, but marketing, writing, narrative, almost all the narrative directors are women. Like, it's, they're there. They love games as much as these people say they do. And yet, you know, they're not as protective about it. They want more people playing these games, which is what everybody who's a fan of this medium should want. Now, the other example I mentioned was Mass Effect. Now, Mass Effect was a role-playing game made by BioWare, Edmonton-based company. It's probably one of the best narrative video games ever created. It's a sprawling space epic. There were three games that were incredible. You know, you got to sort of pick your path. Everybody had a different story. But the thing was, when Mass Effect 3 came out, the ending did not go over well. And the thing was, is that it had a couple endings, but the main one that you get was pretty bad in the sense that, you know, the galaxy basically is destroyed. And so there were a bunch of people who, you know, felt that after spending, you know, hundreds of hours playing these three games, that was not a satisfactory ending. And so they went online and they complained about it. And this was where probably the worst thing happened. BioWare caved and they redid the ending for these fans. And so that's the game that you can point to where it's like, oh, the online uproar was so bad that it worked. And that gave these guys a game plan. That gave toxic fanhood what? How do we do this? How do we make this work? How do we get what we want? This is how we get what we want. And that's what's happening.
Here's the leap that you have to help me make, because I see a lot of movies and I'm not a huge fan of them. I'm a huge Marvel guy. I've loved Spider-Man in particular since back when I was probably an 8-year-old. There's been a number of Spider movies now. I haven't liked all of them. In fact, with the exception of a couple of them, I've pretty much found them crappy. What's the difference, and how do you get from being somebody who, you know, no, I didn't like the way they portrayed Luke, or I really didn't like the way they had Peter Parker dancing in a nightclub, to the kind of person who is actively leading campaigns to get the director fired or remake the movie himself? Like, where do you get weaponized?
You get weaponized online. You know, this person, you know, he's put up this site, he's put up his manifesto, how he wants to raise money to re-edit and remake this film. It's impossible. There's no way. You'll never have the rights. You'll never be able to do this. Disney will sue you out of existence before you even try it. But, you know, do you remember the Phantom Edit? You know, when the Phantom Menace came out, we all hated Jar Jar, and then someone cut that film and put it online and is an hour and a half version. And it's the Phantom Edit. You know, there is a precedent for this. Now, in that case, they just cut one character out and tried to make the film work. In this place, this idea, what I find really, really interesting is that, you know, they're asking people to pledge money to sign up onto this thing, and but they're going to make a film that all of fandom can enjoy.
Yes.
What
you
is
did
that?
The air quotes again. All of fandom.
How can you make something that everyone can enjoy? That's impossible. Like, there is no... This is one of these things. Like, there's a reason that art is usually made by a singular artist. You require a vision to create something. And these guys right now, they don't have a vision. They just have an ante. You know, it's like...
They don't want it to be that.
We don't want it to be that. We want something else. And so... This is how, you know, the funny thing is that it is ludicrous. Like, if you look at the site, you can put your name down and pledge $1 million.
You don't have to give $1 million. You just say, if this ever gets off the ground, I'll pay.
You don't have to give any information whatsoever. You know, basically, they've raised something like $430 million. It's all fake, right? Because you and I can go on right now and just put our names and be like, yeah, here's $50 million. So, I mean, this is ridiculous.
So what happens next to Star Wars?
Well, this is the thing where, you know, I believe J.J. Abrams is set to direct episode 9. I do think he has a tough job to do because, you know, Rian Johnson didn't leave him with a lot of stuff at the end of this most recent film. But it's Star Wars. It's a lot like comic books. Like, everybody dead is probably, could be back alive. Who knows, right? And so, I mean, I do think the interesting thing is how the spinoffs are not doing particularly well, particularly Solo right now, because we're hitting a point now where perhaps we're hitting a bit of franchise fatigue. I mean, it is one of these things that there's a lot of Star Wars out there. There's a lot coming. And, you know, I find it really interesting because you can see what they're trying to do with at least the main films and in killing off the main characters. They want new people. They want the new characters to carry these things forward. Like, you're not going to want Luke Skywalker fighting people with lightsabers when he's 80, do you?
Well, some people clearly do.
Some people clearly do. I mean, you know, there's talk of, I believe one of the next spinoffs is an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie where people want Ewan McGregor in it again. Listen, you know, time for these things doesn't really matter. So you can do all sorts of prequels. You can do, you know, I mean, I believe there is something like 9 films in some state of development. So Star Wars is fine. There, you know, I do wonder, though, how Disney is going to react to some of this stuff. Because, you know, they are all about protecting the characters. And, I mean, Solo is a perfect example. I mean, they fired Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who were the guys from, you know, the Lego movie. They were the original directors on that film.
And those are guys who have incredible cred in Hollywood right now.
Incredible cred. But the word was that they were taking it in a direction that Disney didn't like. The rumors is that they were making it a little bit too funny. They didn't think that was a good fit for the Solo movie. Now, that said, you know, Solo did not get great reviews. It's not going to make $1 billion, which is sort of the watermark for all Star Wars movies right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're going to have to rethink what they're going to do with the rest of those films. But it's Disney. You know, Disney is all about the forever franchise. Disney wants this to be a thing that you and I are talking about with our grandchildren and going to see the next Star Wars film, whatever, Star Wars 24 or 50 or whatever it is when that comes out at that time. So it's not going anywhere. Listen, it's still making money hand over fist. Disney paid $4 billion for it. They've made over 30 since the time that they did. Like, it's fun. Listen, I can complain to all about the movies. I can't wait till Star Wars Land is done in California. I will go there. You know, I did Star Wars at Disney World. It was great.
How many of these people who are remaking The Last Jedi will go?
That's just it. These are the people that will go anyways. Like, you know, any Star Wars, it's funny. It's the toxic fans are the ones that can't miss it. You know,
it's like a bad relationship.
It really is. It is a bad relationship. And it's one of these things where I don't think these people know what they want from the relationship.
Last question. What do you think happens with Star Wars Episode 9? And I'm not talking about the plot necessarily, but I'm talking about the direction that Disney takes the franchise. Do they continue to ignore the trolls and lean into this different direction? Or are we going back to kind of rehashing The Force Awakens, which is a slavish homage to the original Star Wars?
Well, J.J. Abrams is directing this film, and he did
The Force Awakens.
He did. So, I mean... And I do think that he does reference things a lot in a lot of his work. But I do think that he also has a pretty blank slate right now with what he wants to do with this. And the question is where do you leave the franchise at the end? And it generally, you know, if we do look at Return of the Jedi as a copycat move, you know, it does end very hopefully. And I'd say let's end on that, you know. Let's hope this one is A New Hope.
Let's also hope that The Last Jedi never gets remade by fans.
It never will.
Although I'm going to pledge $10 million just to see what happens. Thanks, Riju.
Thank you.
That was The Big Story. For more, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Big Story Podcast. And, of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your pods. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. May the Force be with you. We'll talk tomorrow.